for the touchdown. For Beck, the rookie from Boomer. He grew up in Garfield, New Jersey, 10 minutes from Giants Stadium.
Absolutely unbelievable. You're talking about a kid who is just all heart.
Welcome to the Underdog Jets podcast with Wayne Krabet and Robbie Sabo. And yeah, I think we're back. Yeah, we are back with the Underdog Jets podcast. Wayne Krabet, a lot today. New uniforms. We'll get Wayne's take on that. The problem, I guess, is they're going to be near and dear to your heart, Wayne. I know you saw them because you came up 95 when Rich Kotite called you Krabet, was it? When he called you in?
Krabet.
Yeah. One of the classic clips of all time, of course, but we'll get your take on that. Brock Bowers visited the facility yesterday, the same day Aaron Rodgers returned to Florham Park, which is interesting. Right. Other guys are visiting too, but Bowers is the headliner. And a lot of people think Bowers is the guy right now in the mocks.
That was what they're thinking all along. And it's crazy because we talked back when we still needed linemen. They had us picking him instead of one of those tackles. So, yeah, looks like he might be the guy. I see some of the comments here that, Eagle Fang and just saying we need to trade up for neighbors no matter what, or Marvin Harrison Jr., to not let one of them go. I still want to know if there's anybody in the second, third round we can get, or do you think that's a necessity to go up and get one of those top two guys?
I think it depends on who drops. Like, can someone drop to 7, 8, or 9 where it doesn't cost them an arm and a leg to get there? I think that's the key. And in terms of tape, Neighbors has it all. He's tremendous. Yeah. But what kind of kid is he? Like, this is the problem I have when evaluating. Like, you could evaluate the tape, but what kind of person is he? What kind of kid is he? If they feel comfortable with Neighbors, yes, I'd want him over Bowers, Odunze. Easily, like not even close.
You know what's weird? I was looking at the best route runner, best third down guy, best deep threat, best hands, all these different things. Kid from Virginia. Is there like Malik Washington or something like that? Do you know anything about him?
I don't know much about him. What was the best category for him?
No, he was in two categories along with Neighbors and Marvin Harrison. It goes by route running, this and that. I was curious if you knew something about that guy because I haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah, I know his stock has been raising. I don't know too much about him. We'll check him out when we get to the receivers in a little bit. But hey, third round pick. Listen, there's a world where they could go Bowers at 10 and a receiver at in third round, but to do that, you'd have to have Bakhtiari locked up in terms of insurance at tackle, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, bringing the more the merrier. These guys are going to come in on 1 year deals just to play with a chance to win the championship. You know, I always check the feed. I don't know what JPA football, Aaron Rodgers suggested. Oh my God.
What happened?
Stupid stuff. He's got his conspiracy theories going on. I want to see it.
Rodgers.
Yeah.
So is it the one about the government creating a certain illness?
Yeah. Okay. Just looking at stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. Bakhtiari, we need another guy in the trenches, guy that can play, all those spots. But seeing Vera Tucker in the new uniforms, thinking we'll have him back out there after the last 2 years, also excites me as well. It's kind of like having a new pickup, a new addition. You could add it, even though he's been there the last 2 years, he hasn't played.
It really is. And the official Wayne Krabet grade on the jerseys, what do you think?
I like them. When I look at those, I don't think of myself. I think more of the Wesley Walker, Ken O'Brien, Bruce Harper, you know, especially
Mickey Schuler.
Yeah, Mickey Schuler. You know what? Wesley Walker puts a lot of stuff on Facebook about guys who should be in the Ring of Honor.
He does, actually. You know what? I think I'm friends with him on Facebook. He puts a lot out there. You're right.
There's a lot of interesting stuff in there. I'm talking about like Jerome Barkerman, Mickey Schuler, and I'm trying to think of all the guys, but there's a lot of great guys from that era I remember watching. But yeah, I'm going to get me a Wesley Walker
jersey
in the white or green, because he puts his own film on there. But man, he was good. Did he ever get consideration for the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I don't think he's gotten any consideration, and he is his thing. He was fast. We all know this. He was a great deep threat, but he was more than just fast. Like it was the perfect. He came along at sort of a perfect time. Like the 80s weren't crazy wide open,
yeah,
but it was getting close. Like Marino started to open it up more, and then Ken O'Brien and the Jets offense. I mean, if they had just above average O-line, they could have done some serious damage.
Scary. Look at John Hassel put on here. Wayne, just to let you know what kind of Jets. Here you are, passed on my father's credentials to my nephew, James. Caught his first touchdown this winter in flag football. Thanks for great memories. I appreciate it. That's nice. Like that. Just handing it down generations.
Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing with this uniform, Wayne. They're kind of – it's the – throwback legacy, like tipping the cap to the New York Sack Exchange era. And that's kind of what you saw with Parcells in 98, right? I mean, he came in, he wanted to change the identity, and he said, okay, let's go back to the glory days of 68.
Yeah, I saw the going through old pictures when me and Morrell, and I think it was Mo Lewis, did the reveal.
Yes.
Parcells. Yeah, that's a long time ago, but I guess you could change it every 5 years.
Yeah, that's the rule. You got to keep it for 5 years if you're going to change it.
Why not? Why not do it? It's exciting for the fans. You're always going to have people, you know, we shouldn't go back to this, go back to that. But, you know, it's good for newer fans and for the new players, you know, to get different kind of variations of the jersey.
Yeah. I wish I could find that 98 reveal with the new uniforms. I remember you.
Black helmets this year too.
They are doing it all black. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got the all white, obviously the green top with the green pants, white top with the green pants, all green, which I'm not a fan of all green ever for some reason. And then the green top with the white pants, and then
all black. I don't like the all green, especially with the green socks without the
You're all green with Parcells and Herm wasn't bad because the socks were white.
Yeah, it was broken up. It was different.
Yes, and the sleeves were white too. So the all green with the white helmet look wasn't too bad.
Yeah, just reading some of these more. You know, a lot of people are just talking about. And you think about it, you got Garrett Wilson, legitimate one. Mike Williams, often injured. Gibson's unproven. And Alan Lazard seems like a bust. You know, Corey Davis, they say he might come. You think about it, their receiver room is really, I don't know. You think they got some guys. If Lazard shows up as a two, yeah, but if he doesn't, wow, they need some more weapons, man.
What if they drafted Bowers? Would you feel good about the weaponry if they went with Bowers?
I'd rather have a receiver and go with Conklin or Rucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where most of the fan base is right now. And I'm on that. My first preference is trade down and then, you know, maybe snag an offensive tackle in the mid first round and then go receiver in the third round.
Yeah.
But I think I'm more okay with Bowers than most of the fan base right now.
Well, if you can't get Neighbors or Harrison, do you take the big tackle at 10 and then look for, you know, trade up and get the second or third round pick, a good receiver, you know, just into the second tier?
Yeah.
And just to add bodies and not just go after one particular guy.
So how deep receiver is, I think one or two of them are going to fall to them in the third round. Yeah. But you can go Odunze at number 10 too, and then flip it and go tackle in the third round. It's so interesting. Bowers, and look at the title here, Wayne. Do you put any stock into this, that they brought Bowers in on Monday, the same day that Rodgers returned to the facility?
I don't, because if it was a free agent, a big free agent, mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah, Aaron's there to kind of like wine him and dine him and, you know, convince him to come. It doesn't matter if he's there for Bowers or not. I don't think they need Rodgers' seal of approval to get this guy. So I think it was just, you know, coincidence.
That's good info for the fans. I guess I look at it this way. It couldn't hurt, but considering he's a rookie, you're probably right. Like, what are you going to do other than a quick introduction? Hey, I'm Aaron. Hey, I'm Brock.
Yeah, that's it.
And then there was a couple other visits too. I forgot exactly who it was. You whiz kids in the comments, help us out. There was another guy who came with Bowers yesterday, and then one or two today.
Yeah, if you had a big guy, you know, that's a free agent, I could see him coming in. New York Jets super fan, what's up, Robbie and Wayne? Love the show. What's going on? Ty and Ara, think Ladd McConkey will last to our third round pick. I don't think he would make it, but I told you he's my guy, man. I like
him. Yeah, he's not going to last. And I got to credit Jake Asman. He said it first, and it makes sense. He's going to go to the Chiefs in the late first round.
Gotcha.
It just makes so much sense. Like, he'd be perfect for Mahomes and Reed.
I like giving the shout out. I'm not Stanley Manor, right? Who's a Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky? Is anything?
Oh yeah, he's got some skills. He's shifty. I'm gonna bring up a mock draft, the full first round mock draft. See, that's the thing. There are so many receivers. It's so the one difference is once you get out of the first five, six, seven, the only difference, not only difference, but the big difference is the size. They just get shorter. You're paying premium in the first round for height, basically, in size.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, not having that second kind of messes things up.
It does.
You know what I mean? But who's going to trade up for 10? Who wants Brock Bowers at 10? Who wants the second tackle at 10? I mean, you know, usually people trade up because they want that quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't really do it for, you know, Bowers is kind of like a, you know, a hybrid guy. But usually it's a big tackle or it's a quarterback that someone will move up that far for.
Yeah. And if you're a Jets fan, I think the biggest thing you want to pray for is the Giants go quarterback.
Yeah.
And Peter Schrager, NFL Network, released his mock. And this is impactful because nearly every mock draft he's put out and he waits, he's gotten correct with the Jets. He got Becton correct in 2020, got Zach Wilson correct, got Sauce correct. So what he has here, obviously Caleb Williams, number one. Jaden Daniels, 2. Drake May to the Pats, 3. Ooh, and then he went McCarthy, 4. I didn't realize he went McCarthy. So he went McCarthy, 4, which I think is a good thing for the Jets.
They're calling him a bust. I don't know. He didn't have the stats. You know, he's a winner, but weird.
It's really incomplete. His career, it feels incomplete from an NFL perspective because Harbaugh didn't ask him to do much. That's the thing. It's so tough to evaluate.
Greg Rallo says McConkey is not Corbett until he plays like Corbett in the NFL. Every year since I left, as the next
great white hope in the slot.
Yeah, the next guy. And the Jets have had some over the years, and you know, passed the torch. But you know, until they do it, mm-hmm. that kid's gonna be a pro, McConkey.
Yeah, he's gonna be good.
Yeah, he's versatile.
And Schrager, pick 5, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers, which makes sense. Arizona with Rome Odunze. So if that's the case, they wouldn't have Odunze. All 7 to the Titans, and if the Titans don't go all at 7, he may drop to the Jets at 10.
I think you take him at that point.
I think so too. Falcons, Dallas Turner, the first and only defender in the top 10. Number 9, Colts, Neighbors.
I don't know. I don't know who they need a tight end. Yeah, interesting fact. The most ever offensive players in the first round has been 19. And this is, they're going to break that this year. This is an offensive draft, man. And like I said, Dallas Turner, you know, after him, there's really not
really nobody,
not much else.
And then obviously Schrager has Bowers going to the Jets at 10, which he's the flavor of the moment, Wayne. It's Bowers. And look at this. They got the new logo up there already. Oh my goodness. Jets X Factor. I got to get to work to put the new logo on the site.
They're saying how, you know, this guy is like, you know, since like Kyle Pitts come out, you know, someone that's that high on people's boards, but you know, look at Kyle Pitts is.
It's tricky with tight ends. Like it was so silly to draft Pitts. You got to make sure you have a quarterback first before you do that.
Is he big?
Pitts?
No, I know Pitts Bowers? Is athletic, but like a Gronk or like a,
you know. Bowers is around, I think he's 6'3", 243.
Yeah. He's not massive. He's only 6'3"?
I think so.
Neighbors is 6'3". Okay.
Let's double check. Yeah, he's not a monster, but he's not little either. Yeah, 6'3".
Guys. So, David, everyone thought the Jets would be looking at an offensive lineman last year in the first round.
Damn autoplay videos. Yeah, 6'3", 243.
Mike says something about Bowers / Kyle Brady trauma. Not the same. Brady wasn't a bust at all. He was the damn good player. Still the wrong pick.
Yeah.
Brady was my year. I remember watching the draft down in like bar with my parents.
Yep.
And Brady got booed. Remember they went Sapp and all that stuff? And
They wanted Sapp, man. They were cheering for Sapp.
I ended up rooming with Brady the first year and living with him the first year.
Oh, wow. At
the beach there. And he's such a nice guy. Such a, you know, and, you know, in New York, it was tough for him. You know, it was more like an extension of the line, like a third tackle to catch. But he ended up playing for a while.
He went to the Pats.
Yeah, I was glad to have played with him.
He was, I never met him, but I heard he was a good guy. And Parcells, see, people forget, he came in, Brady, with all these expectations. He was never really a huge vertical threat guy. And in those days, Kotite was a former tight end, I think. And he got enamored with the tight end. He was a great blocker, one of the best blockers I've ever seen at the position. That's for sure.
Think about the tight ends I had when I was there.
Baker.
The first one was Johnny Mitchell, who was as athletic as you can get.
They drafted him early too.
Yeah, he was there. He could run, he could catch. Not wasn't big. When I was there the first day for training camp, Johnny Mitchell pulls up with a red Porsche, with a red tight shirt on, with a red bandana on his head. I'm like, who is this guy? And after the second practice, and he's just like, you know, young man, come with me. And he kept me after practice. He had me running with him after practice, conditioning, running routes, and kind of like adopted me. Johnny Mitchell, he's a good guy. It didn't work out for him. But memorable guy, you know, took me in after the first practice. But I mean, Brady,
Wiggins.
I love Fred Baxter.
At Wiggins, too. Don't forget
Wiggins, Chris Baker.
Chris Baker.
You know, and Becht is my guy. So
that's right. Anthony Becht. Yeah. Was he a first rounder, Becht? Part of the four first round picks they had in 2000?
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, Pennington, Johnny Abraham, John Abraham, Ellis, maybe.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, Ellis and Becht.
And then LC, I think, was in the third round.
Yeah, LC, that was a steal. That was the steal of the draft, easily. Yeah. That was a tremendous draft. I mean, Parcells was still there, too, so makes sense.
Yeah. There we have McConkey on there.
Yeah, so McConkey, Schrager has McConkey to the Niners in this draft.
Wow. And how many receivers?
So you got McConkey, you got Donnie Mitchell, who's going to Buffalo. Buffalo needs a receiver. You talked about it last week, how Josh Allen desperately needs a receiver. And Mitchell could fly. That's two.
No, on 30 and 31. That's three.
30.
30
and 31. Oh, Khalid McKinstry at 30.
Go to 31.
31, McConkey.
And 30, 32.
That's Polk. I missed Polk going to the Chiefs. Yeah, it makes sense for the Chiefs to draft a receiver, especially with Rashee Rice now. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with him. He's on my dynasty fantasy team, crushing me.
Gotcha.
You got three, four.
Yeah, go ahead.
Xavier Worthy, the 40-yard dash record shatterer, going 24 to Dallas. So nine guys, eight or nine in the first round, receivers.
Yeah, it's deep. Like I said, there is a drop off from neighbors Rome and Harrison, but
yeah, and here's the receiver rankings. I mean,
who would you rather have, Harrison or neighbors?
I think I'd go Harrison, but. I would feel much more comfortable if I met both of them and got to know each of them. But I think based on everything I've heard, I'd go Harrison, but it'd be so close.
Yeah. And these receivers are all for big programs.
Yes. Ohio State, LSU.
Texas, Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah.
SEC, big SEC schools. Rome Odunze is the outlier from Washington. Then you got Ladd coming in at number six. When we first started the process, Ladd was like a second, third, or even fourth round pick, I felt like. Troy Franklin from Oregon, Roman Wilson, second round. Pearsall, yeah, second round.
Usually it's one or two guys I like are from a weird school, but this is all big programs that have played, you know, against all good defenses.
Mm-hmm.
But every so often someone will draft one that's not on that top 10 and surprise people. I wonder who that will be, you know?
Yeah. The third round, it's going to be so tough with Bowers at 10, because if they can't trade down, what do you do if Bowers is at the top of the big board?
All right. So Leggett from South Carolina. Where is he fitting? Cause I saw him going in the first round previously. Now I don't. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they got Leggett.
62.
Oof.
I had heard him going in the first round previously, and now he's not. Yeah, let me see that. Baker.
Here's Malachi Corley.
Keon Coleman. Yeah. Yeah, they're all big schools. There's not one from like a.
And look at the height too. Like, this is what I was talking about. It's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 6'4". So, you know, there's a couple of taller guys later, but it's mostly, it tails off. Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, second rounders. And then Devontae Walker is the tallest mid-round guy, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for sure, one of these guys will drop to the Jets.
Gotcha.
In the third round. You got to think, right? I mean, between Malik Washington, Roman Wilson, Burton, Devontae Walker, one of them has to slip through.
Oh, Washington's 5'8".
Yeah, he's small.
We have our tall guy. His name is Alan Lazard.
Yeah. And Mike Williams. Let's not forget about Mikey Boy.
In person, Lazard is impressive. You know, I saw him the first game. Before he actually did what he did on the field, which wasn't much, but I think mentally he lost confidence when Aaron went down, and that's completely, but then he wasn't getting the ball like he expected.
Yeah.
And it does something to you, but hey, that guy's put together. Michael Williams is put together. Man, I wish Corey Davis was good back too. You know what I mean?
That would be great depth.
Did Becton sign somewhere? Is he going to be a starter?
I don't think he signed, did he? If he signed, it's news to me. But so I've always left that door open. Like, I felt like the Jets would consider bringing him back as a second team guy. But did he burn the bridge? Him and the offensive line coach going back and forth? Yeah. I don't know. That's one. But Rodgers likes him, and he tried to take him under his wing. So that's what keeps the possibility alive for me. It just can't be a lot of money.
We're talking about neighbors and Harrison. We haven't been talking about Rome at all. Is he from Washington? Is he in the 1-2 conversation, or is he third?
I think he's a clear-cut third, but some people have him in the upper echelon, and I've even seen some people have Brian Thomas Jr. in that upper echelon. Chris Sims has Brian Thomas Jr. ahead of Harrison, with next to neighbors.
Like I said, it'll be weird. Someone's going to take someone like that.
Yeah, and I mean, and it could be the Jets too. Like, if you're at 10. And you can't trade down. You're just going to have to bite the bullet and say, I don't care where they're projected. I'm going to take the guy that I want.
You see the Malik Washington comment again. He's, like I said, he's 5'8". You throw him in there, or Garrett. Man, if Mike Williams was healthy and Lazard showed what he could do, that's a decent squad. It's not, you know, Wilson's the clear one, you know, but like when it's me, Lavernius, and Santana, we could – all be a one to me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Lazard will never be a one. Mike Williams will never be a one. But Garrett's going to need some help.
Yes. Here's a Chrono Kenny. Also, good luck getting a formidable tackle after round one. Receiver can get a starter in round 2 and 4. Yes, it's true. Receivers very deep, even tight ends deep. And people say it every year and they're shocked, but it happens every year based on the way football's played these days. However, for all we know, the Jets already have a swing tackle and it's just not signed yet. Like the free agents that are out there, there could have been discussions already. Like Bakhtiari, for all we know, knows he's coming to the Jets, that he's just waiting it out. So don't think just draft in terms of filling these holes. They could go Bowers or receiver at 10 and just say, hey, Bakhtiari, come on down.
You know what, dude? It's right. Listen, as far a tackle to get a 10-year, you know, Pro Bowl tackle, it's usually one of the top guys. You know what I mean?
Usually, yeah.
You know, but it's to get a center or a guard, maybe someone that can play tackle too, you can get them later. But as far as a tackle, yeah, it's first round for the most part. That for a day one starter, yeah.
Usually
third, fourth rounds, fifth round, you could get yourself a receiver that could play 10 years. Maybe not, you know, a Hall of Fame guy, but someone who can contribute. Certainly.
That's a good point. Cause I rarely think about that, breaking up the interior versus the bookends. And you're right. Yeah. Like it's very difficult finding that decade long tackle who's not a top pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Becton, you know, when they got him, he's just a mountain of a man, this and that. But you could always tell when, you know, on the sideline, you could see, you know, big boy, but just he was just too big for his body. Like, you knew he was didn't have problems, you know, if he had the weight thing. But then I look at, you know, Tyron Smith, and that guy's put together solid. You know what I mean?
Like, he's a monster.
Some injuries, but it's just different. You know, it's like not like a chronic thing, but Becton, yeah, he's a nice guy. But when you're that high pick and you don't pan out and the media gets on you and you start doubting yourself, New York is a tough place to play. I think he'll do better somewhere else.
Agreed. Did you see this one yet from Johnny Jimenez? Question for Wayne. Any call you can make to get us Ladd? He wants you to throw your influence in the ring so the Jets can get Ladd McConkey. And I've been trying to get that Hofstra 3 home jersey. You're the man, bro.
Nice. Yeah. There's like two of those jerseys, and I got them both.
You got home and away? You got blue and white?
Yeah. I mean, nah, I said I like that kid. I like the McConkey kid. Not in the upper echelon, but he can make plays with the ball. He's not just the deep route runner.
Yeah.
Dan Nelly, can we get Wayne to come back for one more year? Yeah. No. My 10-year-old, my 12-year-old son can cover me right now. I can catch it. I'll catch all day. I'll be able to catch on my deathbed, but
You're not being clear with us. Tell us yes or no. Stop with this wishy-washiness.
No, I'm not. I'm done.
Jets Eagle Fang. Jets second option after Becton was Henry Ruggs, and now he plays for the Mean Machine. That was such a sad story. The Henry Ruggs accident in Vegas. Oh, my goodness.
Did you ever see the video?
Yes.
It's like 180 miles per hour. Listen.
Such a sad scene.
I was in Vegas for my 40th, I think. And I did the Richard Petty.
I think.
I did the Richard Petty thing on the track.
Yeah.
It's like you're going in the straightaway and then you drop down and coming out. You know, it's like you're on the gas. And then you're off, and they're like, you got to come out on the wall. I mean, it's crazy. I think top speed was like 150, and I felt like I was in a spaceship. This guy's doing 180 with a road with lights on it, with cars. I mean, he hit that poor woman with her dog. Like,
yeah, you know, on the Vegas Strip, on the main road, dude.
Man, it's just a terrible story. All along, because
the videos, I find it like this. It's eerie. The videos that stick with you most and are most like just shocking and sad are the ones that are, they're kind of quiet. Like the background was quiet other than the fire truck from a distance. And then you hear someone screaming and crying, and it was just, I can't get it out of my head now.
I don't even like to talk about it, but you never like to see, you know, that happen to anybody.
It's just
unfortunate.
Yeah, look at this, Johnny Jimenez. Sabo, you killed it today on Jake Asman show. Thank you, my good sir. All right, I'll pat myself on the back. Thank you, Johnny Jimenez. You're the man.
We're talking about, you know, last week, just Henry Ruggs going to the Raiders. They've always been that team to go after the speed guy. That's what we're talking about when that Worthy guy ran that 4.2.
Yes.
Oh, for anybody interested, I'm up all night. I've watched Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, Amazon Prime. I watch everything. And on YouTube, the fastest player at each position in the NFL. You got Darryl Green.
Darryl Green's 4-2. Definitely one for – or Deion's close too, though. Deion's close too, though.
They're talking about like, I'm trying to think. Chris Johnson, Bo Jackson. I mean, if you ever watch it, it's kind of like makes no sense. You hear some of the stories, like he could do a backflip like in 3 foot water, like something. But he, when he came out, he ran a 4.1 or a 4.09. But people said because it was like done with a watch. That he ran a 3.9 something in the 40.
Oh my God.
For Jackson. Is that crazy?
It's absurd. But you remember the old Royals Yankees games when he
ran up the wall?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a Yankees game, but it was in KC. That's just, the guy was a utter freak. Tecmo Super Bowl. He was a god on Tecmo Super Bowl too, the video game.
Even if you, yeah.
Wow, who was the receiver? Do you remember the receiver fastest player? Bob Hayes?
Bull Bob Hayes?
Yeah, Cowboys. Was Bob Hayes Cowboys?
Randy Moss.
I think it would be Bob Hayes because, he was an actual track star.
Yeah. So, all right. We're at 34 minutes again. Quick.
Yep. Well, yeah. All right. Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here, folks. If you get one more question in, we'll read it out quickly. But JetsXFactor.com, use discount code 80. And since Jake Asman was brought up, stay glued to his show as well as ours. We're gonna do a lot of cross promoting leading up to the draft. We sponsored him. He's got to be, Wayne. He's the I think the most popular Jets YouTuber on the planet right now. Yeah, he's tremendous. Yeah. And he's a huge JetX fan, and we are of him as well. So we're going to do a lot of stuff with him. And share this video, go to iTunes, give a like and a rating on the app. We'll see you next week. We could think we got one or two more shows before the draft, and we'll see. Everyone's going to be either happy, sad, or a mixture of both.
It's always a mixture of both, but if they take any of the guys we said, we should be happy. If we move back and get any of those guys, I mean, there's, you know, we're not taking a defensive edge player. We're not taking you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We do that, then it's like, you know, but if we take one of those receivers, one of those tackles, we're going to be in good shape.
Yep. All right, folks. We'll catch you next week. Take care.